Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is none other than Mr. Ed Foy, co-founder and CEO of Press Health Foods, the plant-based health food brand. With a background in consumer goods and hospitality, working at L'Oreal and then as head of global marketing for Jack Wills, Ed met future co-founder Georgie Reams, what a great name, in Los Angeles, of course. It would only have to be LA. Drawn to the US trend of investing in wellness and the popularity of high-quality, freshly pressed juice, Ed supported Georgie to explore her idea and dream of building the same demand in Britain. Having tested the waters with a pop-up shop in London, their first store in Soho threatened to derail them with 18-hour days, no pay, and not enough passing custom. Just a few issues to deal with. Fortune and success arrived when a passing Selfridges buyer invited them to pitch to sell their juices in the store's famous food hall. And when a solution came to the limiting 3-day shelf life of the fresh juice, Press could reach out more feasibly through restaurants, hotels, and online. They have since sold, wait for it, drum roll, over 1 million bottles of their signature green cold-pressed juice, and tasty it is too. Launched both a meal bundle range and the Green Club, a motivational initiative, and Press is now available in over 1,200 retailers. That sounds like quite a lot to me. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
You're the juice man.
Yeah. Actually, my nickname in my last relationship for all her friends was Juice.
Just juice.
Just juice. Just which juice. Is, I think, was O.J. Simpson's nickname. So
not so good.
Not great.
No.
But yeah.
No. How important is being a well person to you?
For me?
For you?
Yeah. Massive. I mean, mentally and physically, just it's been a journey for sure. And I definitely swing back and forth. The pendulum swings in both directions and course corrects need to happen every now and again. We're in the middle of a positive course correction after a very, very tough end of last year and probably overindulging as a result of that stress in the more going out, like, you know, bit of abandonment to sort of like stifle the anxiety. So
I want to talk a lot about the, and you're immediately honest about stuff going on because it's stressful creating these businesses. I meet lots of really successful people and they all have battle scars. Some are more open about them than others, but the truth is when you're on the high wire, you are on the high wire. Mm. And there is a reason why it feels like that, because it's true.
Yeah.
There's actually real things going on. But is it coincidence that the business that you're in is a business which makes people feel better?
No, I think that's definitely... I played a lot of sport, and back then sport and like exercise were the big things that was about how to keep yourself well. And the world has evolved so far. And when I was in the States and met Georgie, co-founder Georgie, like diet, nutrition and clean eating was particularly in LA and on the West Coast was becoming the new version. Exercise was a given and nutrition was becoming the forefront of that phase, or essentially all the zeitgeist was all about food. It's taken us a long time in the UK to sort of start moving into that.
It's definitely happened.
And then mental health has been the next layer to come onto that and the more holistic wellness like component. So no, it gives you great joy. At one point I was speaking to Ben's Cookies about taking their concept to the States after I finished business school. I think I would have felt not as positive about taking a very, very sweet, delicious product yeah. to a country that probably doesn't need more of those.
No.
Whether it had been lucrative or not, less exciting and feel-good factor.
So someone's reading your CV, they go, oh, this is bloke Ed Foy. He yeah. was educated at Oxford, he did biology, he went to Harvard, he did something else really clever, an MBA, I imagine. And then he went into the big corporate world, L'Oreal. He worked for Jack Wills, Peter Williams was on the show many, many years ago, and he's incredibly successful. And then he decided to go and do his own thing. What pushed you to go from that very academic place to the traditional route into, and I say this as someone who did a similar thing, to a traditional route into the big corporate, big institution, to something a bit less institutional but still big, into literally day one, nothing? How did that happen?
Naive optimism probably was the greatest. And actually, honestly, the self-belief that an over-education can actually give you in a dangerous way, I think. Like, I think back now and wish that I'd done an MBA having already failed a business, because I would have got so much more out of it and learnt more from that result and probably had more to apply it to. But I think it had been, I'd done stuff when I was younger, little bits and pieces. And I think my dad was always, whilst having been briefly an entrepreneur and sort of had burnt his fingers on it, went back to the safe harbor of McKinsey, which is, you know, much more stable. I think he'd always been in the background pushing, emotionally sort of giving positive reinforcement to the idea of building things is great. And so I think this specific thing was not necessarily a plan, like great things, they sort of happen in hindsight or retrospective fatalism. And this could have came along because I met Georgie, who we co-founded the business together.
And so, you've never met before at this, I think it was a 24-hour party.
Yes, I don't know, where do you get that information from? This is good research.
I have my sources,
Stu. Yeah.
Stu is called not just a producer and a writer, but a researcher extraordinaire.
It's very good.
Yes. Yes,
she was in business in her other company, which she still has, which is an events company with a friend, an old friend of mine. So
Georgie Reams, I just want to say it again.
Yeah, you like
it's
that
just
name.
A great name. Yeah. I feel like it should be an anagram. I don't know what for. We'll have to. If you think you've got an idea, you can let me know.
Yeah.
But no, Georgie Reams is a really good name. But you met, and was there chemistry? Were you introduced by friends? Because these things are it's a big deal to go into business with someone.
Totally. And actually, at the beginning, I was looking for the next thing I wanted to do. I'd been in Nashville, Tennessee, working for this hospitality group, and she was looking at this business and I could see the merit in it. And then I was between things. And then basically we started talking about it. And really actually in the first instance, I just had time and was like, do you want me to help think through the sort of more business model? How do you do the numbers side of this versus the, is it a good idea? So we did like a tasting with lots of friends in the basement of a pub. And it was very much her thing to start with. And then ended up saying, well, let's do this after selling some juices in a bathtub in Old Street Tube Station.
Beyond the bath in Old Street, you then actually opened a shop and it was a monumental failure. It almost probably sent you over the edge.
Yeah, it's one of the lessons that we'd sort of, I half identified and I hate myself for it. And Georgie probably had another view as or at least identified it, which is we didn't have the money to open on a good site where there's a lot of, you know, thoroughfare. And therefore we opened in another spot because we could afford it. But actually, the self-fulfilling prophecy bit there is that you'll probably go bust because you just didn't open the right site, not because you weren't good or the product wasn't good or the idea wasn't good. And so, yeah, the retrospective part of it is like, don't open in the wrong spot. Even
I just remember that day one in this big corporate world I moved into, one of our biggest clients was McDonald's and said, is McDonald's a food business or is it a property business? And of course, it was like the kid at 21, and it's a food business. I went, wrong.
Right.
It was one of those first things I ever remember. And of course, if it's there, you're going to use it. If it's not, if it's on the wrong street, you ain't going to see it.
Totally.
But you learned that the hard way.
And when we finally finished our lease on that, I remember thinking, I don't know who could make money or what concept could make money on such a small, tiny little site on such a side street vape shop, which I did say I thought that's what could make money. So I don't know whether it now makes money, but that's what went in
probably
after
does.
Us. Yeah.
And why did it not break you? Why are you still here 10, 11 years later? How did it turn around from that moment of genuinely going, this is just going to kill us?
Yeah, because we were making everything ourselves in a railway arch in Battersea too, which was like its own super unfun journey. But Nicola Waller, who was the then head of food for Selfridges, walked past the front door, which I think you mentioned in the intro. Again, good research. And literally said, tomorrow we have a meeting in the afternoon. Can you get something to us for tomorrow?
I assume because she drank one as well.
She'd had them and she'd walked past before and she popped in and I actually wasn't even there. She'd asked one of the people behind the counter because the shop was really nicely fitted
out.
Where
were you? Which street was it on?
Is it Sherwood Street where the Devonshire is now? But it would have been a lot better now with the Devonshire fame on
Devonshire's
that street.
A fabulous restaurant pub where they sell the best Guinness in London, according to I have had dinner there. It was incredible. The chips are ridiculous and like triple cooked and I came out 18 kilos more. Go and then you'll need to go on a detox for about a year. But it was really amazing. It's just in the heart of Soho.
Exactly. So we were there and it was just it's really a cut through for taxis and there's a loading bay for boots in front of us, which was not as sexy as it could have been. Anyway, Nicola Waller walked past, saw it, and then we sort of did a Harvard MBA sort of piece of work on it, using all the skills to sell things that maybe shouldn't be sold in terms of a like 75-page presentation from scratch overnight, got it to her. And she was like, you know, they were sort of like blown away just because of the volume and the detail. And then that was a good starting point. And then we had the product and they thought we were unique. So we got a counter in Selfridges, and that really put volume through a bit, like so much more volume through the business, credibility. And then on the back of that, we raised money from the Clark Group, who's like an angel investor essentially. And that was the giving us more time to figure our stuff out.
And you mentioned that phrase, which I very much like, which is this sort of over-education, which leads you to believe that you can do stuff because you can think it and you can see the answer and you can do a 75-page deck. In a way, though, quite quickly, that served you well.
Yes, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a good point.
Without that, you wouldn't actually have got into Selfridges, because if you just tipped up and said, here's a couple of these things you saw yesterday, they would have said, that's nice, but is it scalable? What kind of margin are we looking at? All the questions you probably answered there. Have you found, though, that the practical has totally surpassed the importance of the academic in your life now?
Now the academic becomes back in. Okay. The journey from that like very first up to the middle, especially when we were trying to manufacture our own juice and do distribution. I mean, I was vespering juice boxes all over London. Like it was totally about the practicalities of it. And I think today, the things I know that I didn't then, of just how to get stuff done, you know, like do it once, do it right, hands-on, just fixing stuff. Like I can now do stuff around the house because I had to fix pipes in, you know, in a juice kitchen. So just all those things, it honestly makes me question so much the education that was so highly prized and paid for by my parents, like, and have so little of actually life's key skills as a result. Yes, the academia obviously is great and I feel very lucky, but yeah, there's a lot of gaps there for sure.
Find out much more about those gaps with my guest, Ed Foy, today. He's the co-founder of Press, and they are in the business of serving up healthy food, not just healthy juices, which we'll also hear more about shortly. Right now, though, we're going to hear a taster from the Mishcon Innovation Series, which can be found on all the major podcast platforms. Lydia Kellett invites business founders to share their industry insights and practical advice. Practical is very important, Ed, as you know, for those of you thinking about getting into an industry and starting your very own thing. In this clip, focused on the wellness industry, we hear from Richard Chambers, founder and CEO of Get a Drip, the first UK high street vitamin drip and booster shot provider.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. Inspiration from founders of cutting-edge businesses. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
It's an interesting balance, I think, there, between making sure that you surround yourself with good energy and good people and cheerleaders, but also making sure that you've got the right level of stress testing on an idea.
There's a startup, but the lean startup model is make a lean model as quickly as possible, put it to market, test it next. So you could do what you're suggesting, but it might take ages to get to that first model. You test it and it fails, whereas you could have tested it 6 months ago and you known it would have failed then. So initially, I think you want the right, go out there, test it, get it done. I think later on, where you're critiquing and you validated the idea, how do we now take this idea and build it towards market? I think then you want advisors and stress testing and shares and building a team. But initially, I don't think you need that. You just need to go out there and test it.
Just do it.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dorea.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers, lucky you, on the Jazz Shapers podcast. You can hear this very program again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your favorite podcast platform. My guest there is Ed Foy. If you've been listening earlier, I hope you have. Co-founder and CEO of Press Health Foods. I'd missed out the CEO, Ed. The plant-based health food brand. Is it nice being a CEO? Do you like being the boss?
Oh, I definitely, yeah, like that.
Is that natural?
It is natural. I think I'm...
Yeah. You always thought you were the boss anyway.
I think I just need the attention, honestly.
Middle child.
Big time.
Yeah. Mm. And that attention, though, never unwelcome for you? Are there moments when you go, actually, I don't want to be the CEO?
When it's going badly.
And where do you go when it's going badly in your head? Where do you go for support within yourself or within, you know, a community of people or family or whoever it might be?
I mean... Definitely family. Like, I've been very, very lucky with a family who are both like understand business enough that you can have meaningful conversations with them.
And honest ones.
Oh, for sure.
Can you be totally honest?
Yeah. I'm very lucky.
This is parents, is it?
Correct. Yeah. And brother as well, who's very successful, and sister, to be honest. Right? Or kind of, I think, you know, and friends the same. You sort of use them for different moments. You like call one person when you want them to tell you you're just awesome and it's all going to be fine, and you call someone else.
Can you give me their number?
Yeah.
Or they just tell me, they don't know me, but can we just do that?
Yeah. And then you call and then you call the other one when you're like, I need a bit of straight talking and a bit of call me out on the stuff I, you know. But actually, the biggest thing has been the network of founders that I had coming up at the same time, of which there are a couple, David, who founded Grind Coffee, Harry Jameson, who's at Pillar, just guys that were similar age coming up at the same time and all facing the horror. And so actually, they're the people that you really call when you just need to
vent. Really?
Yeah, honestly, it's... What is it? Entrepreneurs Anonymous is what we wanted to create, because we just thought, because it is so unique. And if you haven't done the journey or not on the journey, no, people can just empathize and say, hey, that sounds awful. But actually, these guys will talk about the solutions or at least the detail, and they'll understand. So that's like been huge to me.
When you get a breakthrough and there's a kind of, it's no longer just going to be in date for 3 days, but it's 1 month, what happens? What does Ed Foy do when there's genuinely a celebration to be had?
Family first, probably.
You won't believe it.
Yeah, no, I'd just be, because
I suppose they know you've been on it, working out.
Correct. And then my brother always has this thing where he's like, is it going to change the whole business, Ed? Because at the beginning, every time we hired someone new or we had something happen, like we changed the bottle shape, I was like, I think this is the moment where it all changes. And that obviously is just not the way.
But you're obviously an eternal optimist. That must be just the way you're built.
Yes, but I think with the background of like constant worry, you know, it's hard to worry. It's hard to be optimistic beyond real truths. That, you know, otherwise you sort of like, and there, I think there are founders who do that and have done it successfully. And, but yeah, there's definitely optimistic. I don't really know where that comes from other than survival, because you're sort of in it. Where else? You got to paddle towards the shore. Can't sort of turn around.
But the worry thing, obviously you need to worry things to the ground. How do you balance it? How do you keep away from the big, big long-term worries and focus on the today? How do you do it?
For me, the getting up early thing has been a revelation, actually. I used to sort of try and get enough sleep because you'd work late, and then I'd try and sleep, and then you sort of roll straight from bed back into the fray. And actually what I've now done is got up much, much earlier so that I have this space between getting up and having to go into battle. And that
5 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think lots of people get up at 5 a.m. It feels like everyone does, or lots of people do in lots of professions and in lots of lifestyles. So that has been huge. 5 a.m. It's like 4 hours of time that I can just do, and most of it ends up being work stuff, bit of gym, bit of meditation. I cook myself breakfast, which is like, honestly, has been a revelation. Just cooking eggs on toast every day is just such a self love moment. It's so weird. But it's right, makes a lot of difference, or has done for me.
You discovered, apparently, a bat.
Oh my God, that is deep research.
Is that right?
That is true.
A new type of bat.
Yeah, in Indonesia.
How?
I was on a trip, a wildlife conservation trip, and we were mist netting in the dark, and you use this scanner to... you can hear the bats through the echolocation of the bats using this scanner, and then you sort of throw up this big mist net, which doesn't hurt them. And anyway, while we were there, we found a new bat, slightly chubbier pipistrelle or whatever it was, which is a Ricky Gervais line. But,
Have you, has that fascination, obviously you studied biology, which I think I mentioned, has that been there forever, that interest in stuff in the world around you? And does that give you solace when you're there facing a really difficult business problem? Or is it like an indulgence at the weekend rather than you can go to somewhere in the middle of a problem?
No, I mean, I definitely, the science of it, the human biology side of it, and the way, and then us integrative, like, style of living with the world, all of those things. I mean, wildlife is just like a passion from a voyeuristic perspective, just love talking about it and watching it on whatever channel. But in terms of the human biology and the wellness side of this, it's like, weirdly, my family just like have always directionally been there. My brother is a medicine guy, invests in medicines, and in a kind of passionate about the science way. Like, he's much more of a nerd than me, and I'm medium nerd, but he's full nerd. And he's the best. But yeah, but like, weirdly, just Like,
is it weird though? If you think about it, why are you? Is there anyone else?
No, neither parents particularly. Okay. So dad was languages and mum was in advertising, but just somehow some moment must have aggregated us all. Maybe it was a holiday or something. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Strange indeed. But actually, that interest in the natural world, it isn't coincidence that you like to make natural things, and the extension beyond the juices into not going to call them ready to eat things, but they are now, you know, oats, soups, meals. How long has that been going for? Is it relatively recent?
A year.
So far, so good?
Really good. It's been so enlivening for the business, for our relationship with customers. As in our e-com customers, so the ones, you know, that we really have a one-to-one relationship with, albeit digitally, just that we can take, you know, we have, it's a much deeper, more emotive part of life is food and meal time and the relationship people have with food. Juices is great, but it's sort of an add-on to your life on a day-to-day basis and a healthy one, and that's great. But actually, it's awesome to be able to make someone's life easy, say 4 days a week, where we just, you know, take you from breakfast till bed with all your food, your snacks, your lunch, the whole thing. And it's all clean label. And so that's been, it just has deepened, honestly, just, I think everyone inside the business's excitement about what we do, just because it's more emotive somehow, food.
And having more stuff, does that inevitably make your life more complex?
It does, but we're using some technologies for the manufacturing on the food side of things, which has meant that we found a way to make it as least impactful in terms of operational complication as it could be, with like a longer shelf life, but nothing added, natural, tastes incredible, which no one in the UK is using. So that's been a cool, that's a discovery. That was a breakthrough moment for sure.
And just very briefly, obviously I read something, or I watched you talking about, you know, if I could go back and tell my younger self, I think it was your own produced, you know, conversation you were in with your Grind founder, David. If I could go back and tell my younger self something that they should ought to do is choose a category you have some experience of that you know. Here you are now 10 years later, you understand how to make food. What's that journey been like? Has it been relatively straightforward now that you look back, or would that be a lie?
I think the juice part was the worst part, because no one really in the UK was making cold pressed juice at the time. So I brought machines from Buffalo, New York, went upstate to Niagara Falls, bought these big machines, had them shipped over, then built a kitchen, which I'd never done before. You know, why would we have done that? So it's got better and better as we have learned, but also, you know, we did everything ourselves at the beginning, and today we work with a lot of manufacturing partners who are just experts at that bit. And that's when you realize you should be good at the bit you're good at, which for us is product development, brand and sales, which is what most people have that journey.
But if we needed any plumbing and you wanted your pipes fixed, Ed Foy is your man. Final chat with him coming up. He also makes juices and nice healthy food too. He's coming up shortly, and we've got some music from the Sons of Kemet. That's in just a moment.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
Ed Foy is my business shaper. Where does it go from here? What's happening in Ed Foy's world? What sort of trends are you spotting that you want to develop and jump on?
It feels like it's now happening, where the world is really turned on to the idea of functional health and food and natural as being the right way to invest in your body and your wellness, like right at the sort of baseline. I think it goes sleep and then it's nutrition.
Are your numbers showing that? If I took a graph of the last 12, 24 months, is it going from the bottom left to the top right? Is it moving?
Yeah, which is good. And for lots of reasons, but also, we currently have some really cool conversations with, we've never had a supermarket listing, so we've had to be scrappy and build out this huge portfolio of companies, which has been cool because it's de-risked one of them, but we are now in conversation with three big ones kind of all at once, which is really cool. And the products we're talking about are right at the leading edge in terms of functional health ingredients. I mean, for all of it, protein, mushrooms, probiotics, all of that stuff is now becoming mainstream. I think M&S has just done their huge piece of like PR around this new range of products, which is epic to see, because it's been a long time trying to make the world sort of engage.
When you're having those conversations, are you doing it, or do you have senior salespeople that go and do that, or is it still Ed?
No, it's still, so it's the outreach process and the bit comes from our commercial director, but there is still a thing, I think, of founder power. I don't know for what reason, but it is, you should be there. First of all, you should be there. And second of all, it has actually got an outcome that is better.
Do you look at those sorts of processes and go, what's all the bureaucracy about? What's the fuss? Can I just go and talk to them? Is there a bit of that? Or do you appreciate the sophistication and the convention of that thing?
I think I have been frustrated for sure. Frustration is a light term for it. I'm sure there have been expletives like rendered constantly across the...
The eyes were quite sharp just then, you should know.
Yeah. So we felt like we've been owed a turn at least in one of them. And what would happen is, again, it's not by anything vindictive. It's just sort of the way, but buyers are there. And sometimes you're right at the end of that conversation that's taken 6 months to get. And then the buyer moves to another category or leaves. And suddenly it really does go back to zero often. There is the other side of it, which is I've been told by wiser people than me who have been in the industry, which is they'll call you, which I kind of think is probably also true to some extent. So that's been a cool moment to get to where I suppose we've hit critical mass. We're sort of, because there's the sort of the very early bit where you're really small and they want to give you a little shot in their, one of their interesting founder programs. We've kind of been in the middle bit for quite a long time, which is you're sort of in a lot of places, but you haven't proved yourself in another supermarket. So they won't take the risk of putting you in theirs.
Catch 22.
A little bit. So, yeah. But
if there's one trend now, if you can mention it without revealing anything too big, what is it beyond the things you're doing? Is there a specific ingredient that we're going to be seeing soon?
I mean, probiotics and gut health, right, is just going across everything. It's going to be the case where you can't move for any there'll be probiotic crisps coming. The whole, you know, everyone will be going into this and some things will work.
And should we make this program probiotic? And if we were to do that, how would we do that? I need some answers.
Okay, fair. I mean,
I want to be on trend.
You want to be probiotic. That's an interesting.
So probiotic.
Let's start with the logo. Let's start there.
So we change the chameleon to something edible,
or just an intestine outline.
Oh, yeah, maybe it isn't. That's good. I like that. Yeah. No, we should do that. Yeah. So probiotic going to be massive.
Yeah, and continuing, and mushrooms is then following behind that, which is this idea of, and that is cool because as much as you can sort of say the mushroom thing. The non-psychedelic side of mushrooms, which is also its own medical area that's super exciting. But it's more going back to the idea that natural ingredients really can have meaningful effects on the way we feel and are and our bodies operate. They're adaptogenic. That's one of the categories. But that is basically what medicine started from. And so we're moving that back into putting that in mainstream foods, albeit you can't claim the outcomes. So
keep healthy. Both mentally and physically. Keep doing the 5 a.m. thing. It sounds like it's working well. Thank you for being honest and so open and sharing. It is not a straight line. It is not all whoop whoop and, you know, fireworks. It's real. It's real and it's hard. But you're here. Ed, you're here to tell the story and I hope it continues to grow because it's good stuff. Just before I let you disappear, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
Oscar Peterson, My One and Only Love. I've chosen it because I was talking to my dad who was a pianist in his younger years and still plays piano, and we were talking about what would be a great song. I listen to jazz, but not with an eclectic, huge inventory of knowledge. So he brought him up, and we listened to a whole bunch of music, and this was the song that I thought was awesome.
Oscar Peterson with My One and Only Love, the song choice of my business shaper today, Ed Foy. Building things is great, he said. I think at heart he is an entrepreneur, and he loves doing it, even though it has been a tough journey. Entrepreneurs Anonymous, the next thing he needs to set up. That sense of actually, in reality, entrepreneurs talk to each other, give each other support, because it's hard. And there's no denying that, and they're very honest about it. And finally, when you think about where you can spend your time and what you should be focused on, he said, be good at the bits you're good at. In other words, try to find other people to help you with the bits that you're not good at. All great stuff. That's it from me and Jazz Shapers. Have a great weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoyed that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/jazzshapers.